Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. In today's world of rapid medical advances, if you have a problem, your doctor might have a potential solution that maybe didn't even exist a few years ago. But what if you can't quite bring yourself to ask your doctor a question about your sexual health? Dr. Lori Landine at Sanford Health in Sioux Falls is launching a new clinic in her practice, an intimacy clinic, dedicated hours for women to ask about sex and sexual health. All right, so let's talk about it. More importantly, let's talk about why we need to talk about intimacy, why it matters for women across South Dakota, including those who don't have access to a dedicated intimacy clinic. I stopped by the Sanford Women's Health Plaza to visit with Dr. Lori Landine.
For one thing, it has always been taboo to talk about something that is related to sexual health. And the sad situation about that is it's who we are. It's what brings us to life. It's what makes us feel good about ourselves. It's what makes us feel good about helping others. And getting pleasure, seeking pleasure, providing pleasure. It's part of one of the basic, you know, needs in humans. In a nutshell, 42% of women have some form of sexual dysfunction. 42%. The problem is that, number one, they're afraid to talk about it. Number two, providers are afraid to talk about it and address it. And number three, there is this stigmata that if you talk about sex, you're dirty. And I think, you know, I'm all about love and intimacy. And again, that's why we're calling this the Intimacy Clinic, because there are many ways to be intimate. And what is it that does not allow a woman to be her full self? It really depends on what stage of life she's in. It depends on the road she's already traveled, and it depends on the road she wants to travel in the future. So when I first started practice, I think I've developed enough of a relationship with my patients that I started realizing, you know what, more women want to talk about this. And I think they've built a comfort level to be able to discuss with me after, you know, being with me some. And all of a sudden it came to me why we should almost have this be a part of everyday discussion with our patients when we see them. I don't care if they're a woman or a man. We should be asking the question, you know, how are you doing with regards to your sexual health? Because guess what? It is health, just like your blood pressure is health, just like your heart health. As a matter of fact, I would tell you that the sexually active woman who has a very positive sexual health history is more likely to outlive the woman who does not.
Then that number of 42% is pretty significant, not just for what's happening in your life on a daily basis, but your longevity as well.
Yes. And, you know, it's all about, we say, you know, when you take care of a patient, it's, you know, how are you in mind, body, and spirit? It all comes together. And so I find that a lot of women who have issues of depression, anxiety, physical pain with intercourse, you know, that a lot of the things come together and make us who we are. And if I can help them in that way, a lot of other parts of their life may also come together.
So what's changing in your your practice right now? How is this changing from, you know, for people who are listening who say, I'm tuned into this, I want to connect, how is your practice going to change?
Well, initially what I did was I set aside certain time frame that I would see these patients because I know it takes more time. This is not just come on in and let me do your pap smear and your breast exam. But now I'm actually going to have a dedicated sexual health clinic, and I'm calling it the Intimacy Clinic because I really feel that raises the bar and it shows really what kind of service I want to provide. And so that will be offered to patients, and they will initially come in for a consultation. There's a lot. You know, what I say is sexuality is very complex, and women are complex. There is a lot of reasons why women may have issues. Not that men, you know, don't have certainly a lot of medical issues as well that can be causing issues in intimacy. But with women, I really want to help break down what are the barriers that are helping or preventing you from being the woman you want to be. I will tell you that there are over 20 plus medications for men that have sexual health, or, you know, and you see the commercials, you know, you see the Cialis or the Viagra commercials. When's the last time you saw a commercial about women's sexual health and intimacy? First of all, it's because it's either taboo or people are afraid to address it. Well, I'm here to say that a healthy woman who wants a healthy sexual life should be able to have that. And whatever those barriers are, I want to help them. And yes, we have things to help them. That's one of the biggest reasons why women don't even talk about it, because they don't think we have things that we can do to help. But we do. We have a multitude of things that are medical, medications. Sometimes it is also doing psychological, cognitive, you know, behavioral health. Women may have a history of trauma, abuse that has preventing them from having the most wonderful, loving relationship with a significant other because they can't unleash the baggage they've had. And there are also procedures we can do. There are a lot of women out there who once had a very healthy sexual life, and now they don't because of medical problems they had, whether they're cancer survivors, whether they've gone through menopause, whether they had a traumatic birth. There are a lot of reasons why women then will avoid intimacy, and we now have things we can do to help them.
It seems like a place that people could easily think they can just lock away. It's not working. I don't need this. It's sort of like cutting off an arm in some ways. Is it that drastic? What happens if someone gets to the point where they just sort of give up on that part of their life? And what's your message to them about closing that door and locking it?
Sure. And you know what? That's a great question, because not everybody who no longer becomes sexually active, it becomes an issue. I had a patient this morning. It's her husband who has lost his libido. And so the question is, it's not really an issue for him, but it is for her. So it becomes an issue when it disturbs and creates conflict. And when there is conflict, then we want to have resolution. For some people, that resolution is that I'm okay with not being intimate. But for many, they seem to feel like they've lost a part of themselves. And so that's not a question I can really answer for them, but we have to get at the root and say, is this something that causes enough distress in your life, psychologically, social, emotionally, physically, that we should do something about it? And if it don't let the barrier be that there's nothing that can be done. Let the barrier be that I'm at peace.
Let's talk about that taboo. And where does it come from? What, as you talk with women and you see, are there themes to why it's so hard to overcome even bringing it up with your medical provider?
Well, you know, I think a lot of it is maybe in our own upbringing and how we were brought up and then how our parents were brought up. And, you know, then we went from, you know, one extreme to not even talking about it to, you know, the free love generation of the 60s and 70s. You know, I just want to make it very clear that my clinic is really about trying to foster intimate relationships. And so I really also am wanting to have the patient who, it really has disrupted her life. I'm not afraid to talk about it. I talk about it, my children. I talk about it with all of my patients. It's not anything that should be taboo. No more than what did you have for lunch?
For women in same-sex relationships, there's often also a little barrier in having that conversation. How do you approach the LGBTQ community with the issues of intimacy?
Well, you know what? It doesn't matter to me what color, what kind of person you love. If you love somebody and you're having issues in how you show each other intimacy, I mean, then you just need to have it worked out. And I'm really here for that. There are no barriers in my clinic of who I will see and won't see. You know, I just want people to feel comfortable in their own skin.
When people begin to not talk about things and we don't hear stories about women's health and women's sexual health, certain things start to become invisible and women become invisible. And I'm thinking, going back to this commercial, we were talking about men's sexual health being something that's appropriate for a commercial during prime time. Do you think that it affects women's position in society overall to kind of have such a comprehensive taboo on things?
Well, you know, you're talking to a woman who works really strictly with women. I mean, women are my patients. But you know what? I will tell you, I take care of families. You know, I want to promote the well-being of families. And to me, the best way to promote the well-being of families and of couples, no matter what where you come from is to promote the well-being of self, because it's not until you have that that you are going to be able to really be what I would say a totally 100% productive member of society. So yes, I want women to feel comfortable about their own sexual self.
What are some of the things that get in the way? Even knowing your own anatomy is a challenge sometimes for women, because we haven't talked about that.
Absolutely. Well, I do believe, I honestly, I wish it started at home. I can't tell you how many young patients that I have that, you know, their own families are afraid to talk to them about it. And now we don't even allow a lot of the discussion in schools. You know, we have to stop thinking that it's a dirty word. The more patients are educated about their own bodies and sexual health, you're going to have less of all the things we all want. We all want less sexually transmitted diseases. We all want less unintended pregnancies. We all want less physical abuse and violence. And the more we encourage and give women the ability to be empowered, the better that will be for all, men and women.
Talk a little bit about collaboration with other providers and some of those connections that are important. When someone comes into your clinic, not everything might be something that you can solve. How do you collaborate with others? How expansive is the intimacy clinic?
Well, it's very expansive, and I actually have this big pie chart that I have made up, because really it's not all about me. I'm not going to say that I will see a patient for one visit and I can give them that pixie dust that's going to, you know, make everything better. First of all, a lot of the issues that have come on with women have come on over months and years, so I just don't want patients to have this false feeling that in one visit I can totally turn it around 180 degrees. But also, I can help them from the standpoint of their partners. You know, do their partners have medical issues that need to be addressed and not just themselves? Are there psychosocial issues? We have psychiatrists, we have psychologists, our mental health specialists. It's so important that we have a good sense from that standpoint. And then also, just even our family physicians and our internal medicine doctors, a lot of the problems that people have might be related to some of the medications they're on. And I am not an expert on all of the medications and all of the potential, you know, complications that can occur by mixing certain medications. I do know that there are definitely some that will create more problems than others. For instance, we know that some of the antidepressants will cause issues with sexual dysfunction and decrease libido and orgasmic functioning. However, I don't want a woman to necessarily go off of her antidepressants, because that might be the wrong thing to do, but maybe to change it out. Well, I'm going to borrow my psychology and psychiatry friends, because I don't want to harm somebody without, you know, having there be a full collaborative effort in this. So that's just an example.
South Dakota Public Broadcasting broadcasts throughout the state of South Dakota. So there are people listening from small towns that aren't going to come to your clinic. What kind of conversation should they be having with their healthcare providers to open the door for a deeper relationship and growth in sexual intimacy?
Well, I think the first thing is, don't be afraid to talk to your providers. You know, a lot of providers, if you open the door, it will remain open. But if you don't even approach it, a lot of providers don't know maybe how to start the conversation. So I would encourage all patients out there to start the conversation, whether you're a man with erectile dysfunction, whether you're a woman who, you know, has had a significant, wonderful sexual history with a significant other for years, and now does avoidance behaviors, because you don't want to tell them no, but if you can wait and let them go to bed before you and fall asleep, you won't have to say no, because it hurts to have intercourse, because it's painful, because you're menopausal, your vagina is dry. And so there's a lot of things that can be, we can help patients with, but you got to take it upon yourself and say, it's important enough in my life that I want to talk about it. And if you talk to a provider and you don't feel that you're getting any answers, then you probably need to go to another provider.
Tell us a little bit about some of the things young women need to think about, those women who are just entering reproductive age. What are some of the things that they that would start a conversation for a healthy lifetime?
Okay. Well, I think the first thing is, sexual experiences that are traumatic will always play a role in any future loving relationships. And so I encourage women to really seek out, you know, if you're going to become sexually active, ask yourself why, you know, and absolutely make sure that it is consensual. Never be afraid to say no. because saying no will probably be the best yes in the future that you ever had. If by chance a woman has had trauma in the past, don't be afraid to seek help. There are people out there that can help you overcome this, because really your whole life, not just your sexual health and what goes on in the bedroom, but your whole life really will be so much better if you can get through, you know, a trauma.
And women in after childbirth, what are some of the challenges you hear from new moms?
Well, the first thing is, and studies have shown, roughly 2/3 of relationships have significant worsening in that first year of life after a child. And that is just what we know. So if you have a significant other, there's a great chance that that relationship is not going to be very good by within 12 months. So what you need to do, number one, is you need to foster and remember this person that you had this child with. They are a part of the team, the family unit. There are many things that people can do to help the postpartum woman. Remember, the hormones are changing drastically. You go from very high estrogen and progesterone levels to very low levels. That in and of itself can create significant depression in a woman and anxiety. I don't even like to use the word postpartum depression, because it really is a postpartum reaction. More women have anxiety and sociophobias and going out and being around people than they would have actual depression. And of course, then we all have heard about the very rare but worse stories of psychosis that can occur, where, you know, you will harm yourself or others. So the first thing I want women to know is, don't be afraid to talk to your provider, and don't be afraid to talk to your significant other, that if I'm acting differently, please help me. Help me to help myself. And then I totally recommend that people have a set time for each other, and they have date nights, that they have nights where they can leave their child with somebody they feel comfortable with and maybe not even go back home. Go out to dinner. Get a hotel room. The word is intimacy, and that's the best way to have it, is to have some alone time. But that can really help restore relationships when it's at a time where it's difficult.
If you are a partner who sees that maybe you're the woman in your life is having issues, are there ways, is there language you can use to sort of bring it up?
Absolutely. I think the first thing you want to do is, you never want to tell people you, you know, so you use the word I, you know, I'm concerned, I'm seeing things that worry me. So bring it that it's about not pointing the finger at that person that you have concerns with. Certainly, if you are worried about a significant other, you know, having suicidal thoughts, then that, you call immediately. You can call emergency rooms, you can call police, you can do any of that if it is life-threatening like that. But the most important thing is getting somebody into counseling. The hardest thing I find in couples therapy is, and not always, but usually the man is the one who's more hesitant to want to go. And so I tell women, go by yourself. Eventually, they'll see the positive impact it's had on you, and they will most likely go with you. But again, lots of times you have to realize that you're sharing this sandbox together, and having couples therapy together can really help. And I have some wonderful people in the community that can assist with that as well.
All right, let's talk to the single ladies or people who don't have a partner. Sure. Does intimacy matter for you?
Well, it does, because, you know, it's how we present ourselves and how we feel about ourselves. And when I talk about sexual health, I don't want people to feel, you know, that, you know, I just don't matter, because you do matter. And people who have a good sense of who they are sensually, sexually, will by and far do better in the workforce. They will do better in all aspects of their private life.
Perimenopause and women in midlife, what are some of the common issues?
Okay, well, of course, the biggest one is vaginal dryness from the intimacy side, a very natural phenomenon. We basically really have a decrease in our estrogen levels. Our bodies make 3 different kinds of estrogen, and the one predominant that is estradiol, once we go through menopause, it really significantly drops to almost nothing, and the level of estrogen that we have is in a hormone called estrone, which is a very weak estrogen. So naturally, what does estrogen do? Estrogen keeps our vaginal tissue elastic like a rubber band. So when that estrogen level significantly decreases, the tissue becomes very thin and it loses its elasticity. So even a little bit of pressure on it can actually almost feel like a carpet burn. And if I told you, let's make love, and you feel like you're going to have a carpet burn, are you going to want to make love? So, you know, again, there are many things you can do to help women. It doesn't have to be estrogen. But the other thing is, a lot of people think estrogen that's directly into the vagina is the same amount or whatever that will give you problems with heart disease, breast cancer, things like that. Absolutely not. There have been many studies out there that show even breast cancer survivors can use vaginal estrogen, and we do not increase their risk for breast cancer recurrence. So I think it's very positive that these studies have come out, because a lot of women who are cancer survivors feel that, what can I do? But there are also non-estrogen treatments out there. There are pills that you can swallow by mouth. There are pills that you can put in your vagina. And there's also vibrator therapy, and there is dilator therapy. And we have something called the Mona Lisa, which is a laser treatment, a laser that goes into the vagina. And what it does, and it is not cosmetic. And I say this because I'm hoping that insurance companies are listening to me right now, because this is about function, not aesthetics. And women who have vaginal dryness and painful intercourse deserve to have and be empowered to have a very well-balanced sexual life, and this can help it. But it also helps urinary incontinence. So the Mona Lisa is a laser that goes into the vagina, and it increases the collagen, and collagen will give you more elasticity, and it also will increase and revascularize the vagina, which is what it was when you were 20, 30 years old. So, you know, there are options. And the reason why I tease about the insurance, but not really, is because at this point it is not covered by insurance, but I'm hoping that that will change. I mean, a lot of things when they first come out, you know, they kind of put it into a pool of, well, you don't need that. Okay, well, I would beg to differ.
Postmenopausal and elderly women, is there different issues that sort of come up in your 70s, your 80s?
Absolutely. You know, but the same thing, just because I don't look at somebody who's 70 or 80, I ask my 80-year-old women, of course, I say, are you still sexually active? I don't assume that because you're past making babies that you're not intimate anymore with, you know, somebody. And again, the same issues of dryness in the vagina and menopausal issues, and probably a lot more with erectile dysfunction with husbands. And I think a lot of women, they miss it. I can't tell you how many 80-year-old women wish that they could have intercourse, you know, with their husbands and have intimacy with them, but their husbands are not able to have erections, and they can't get their husbands to go to a doctor. There are some reasons why maybe you cannot be on certain medicines like Cialis or Viagra, but you know what? For the majority of men, there are still things that they can do. So again, there are no age barriers here. As far as I'm concerned, till death do us part.
Any final thoughts on the intimacy clinic and things that you want people to really start talking about?
Well, I think the first thing is, let's call it intimacy. If you want to get rid of the word sex because you find it dirty, that's why I'm using the word intimacy, because this is not anything that has anything to do with being dirty. It's about who we are. It's what makes us love one another and love ourselves.